Last time. So we'll see that. So anyway, take your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter number 6, please. Ephesians chapter number 6. And if you do not have a Bible today, go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get a Bible to you today. So if you don't have a Bible, this is our gift to you. Take it home, keep it, use it, read it. If you just forgot your Bible today, you can leave it back on the table before you leave this morning, and somebody else can use it next week. So say, Pastor Greg, why do we hand out Bibles? Like, why do we take the time to do that? Because the Bible is important. It is His Word. It is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we want to make sure that we always stay a people of the book. And that keeps us intentional, and that keeps us with God's Word at a premium in our ministry. And thank you so much for your help and your support. All right, Ephesians chapter number 6. So this is our final message in this series that we've been going through. And my hope is, as we as we think about the fact that this is over, I hope that obviously this specific time of teaching and instruction is over, but hopefully the growth continues. Hopefully the growth doesn't end. We want to be growing. I mean, Jeff was talking about, transformation. I'm like, dude, like, you looking at my introduction? Like, what are you doing here? I love how God puts those pieces together, because it's all about transforming. It's all about becoming more and more like the person of Jesus Christ. And am I more like Him today than I was yesterday, than last week? And so hopefully these principles we've taught in Hope, it's not just to, like, to fill our head and give us some great information and knowledge, but is it making a difference? Are we growing? Are we becoming someone, different? So to have a little bit of fun this morning as we get started, and also to have a little bit of payback to my daughter who threw me under the bus last week. So if you missed church last week, you'll just have to, catch the podcast thing. So anyway, my daughter was throwing me under the bus a little bit last week, and so we're gonna have a little fun with this. So here's Kayla. Here she is. This was New York, so this is probably like 6 years ago or so, I'm not sure. But isn't she sweet? Isn't she sweet? So this week is her sweet 16. All right, so there's the next. Yeah, so there she is. So that's that picture. It's like, why are you taking my picture? What is that for? I'm like, that's what it's for here today. Okay? But you can see the growth, right? You can see the transformation. You can see, she's no longer the person that she once was. She's growing. She's growing physically, she's growing mentally, emotionally, spiritually. We're praying about those things. But she's definitely growing physically and becoming a beautiful, beautiful young woman, and we're really proud of you, babe. And if we had any doubt, if we weren't sure at all about the fact that she was growing and she was changing and she was, transforming into something else, we had a situation happen here just a couple days ago that really just, like, cemented it to me. Because we were in the car and we're listening to, going to the next slide, we're listening to Jeremy Camp, okay? So Jeremy Camp was at Winter Jam last, was that just last Sunday? Wow, that was last Sunday. So last Sunday night, we were at Winter Jam, and Jeremy Camp was there, and we're coming, this week, we're listening to Jeremy Camp in the car, and Kayla goes, Dad, was Jeremy Camp always that cute? And I was like, really? Really? I can't believe that. So, because the reality is, Jeremy Camp looks pretty much the same. I looked at some of the old pictures. He pretty much looks the same this year as he did last year. So Jeremy Camp hasn't changed. Who's changed? Yeah, he's kind of cute. Like, that wasn't even an issue a year ago. Now all of a sudden it's an issue. Okay, so, okay, go ahead and take that off, Ian. Thanks. I'm in big trouble now. All right, but what's the point? The point is this: we're growing, we're transforming, we're becoming something different. And our hope is that God's word feeds into our heart and feeds into our life. We see ourselves becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. We're growing, we're maturing. We're not staying stagnant, or we're not going backward. We're not doing any of those things. We're continuing to move forward. And so I hope that this series, as we've gone through it, has been a real help and been a real blessing. So the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And so we've been taking the time to go through these. And we've got, did we bring the kits, Christy, today? We got the kits in the back? We got kits? All right, awesome. So this is the last Sunday, so we've got some kits available the Hope Quotient Kits. It's got the book. It's got all the information. You say, Pastor Greg, it's the last week. Like, what difference does it make? It's still, there's still great content, great information. All the downloadable stuff is still available to you that you can check out and resource. And so if you're even remotely interested, please grab one of those today. It's $20, but if you don't have $20, just tell them, I don't have $20. Don't feel bad about that. Don't feel guilty about that. We want to make sure if you want a copy, you get a copy of it. They'll be back at the Welcome Center after the service this morning, okay? So these 7 weeks, so this is what we've been looking at. I'm going to miss this backdrop. Lisa did such a great job on that. So what have we been looking at? Week number one, recharging your batteries, because no one runs well on empty. Got to recharge, okay? Week number two, raise your expectations. We need to replace fear with faith. Absolutely. We serve a big God who can do and accomplish still great and mighty things. Raise your expectations. Number three, refocus on the future. Refocus on the future, because nobody goes forward well when they're looking backward, okay? Keep moving forward. Focus on the future. Number four, play to your strengths. And this was a week that we talked about our spiritual gifting and what we need to do. We need to discover, we need to develop, and then we need to deploy our gifts, all right? So find out what those are. We still got those tests on our Facebook page. You can check those out. Play to your strengths, you know, operate in a way that is in your areas of giftedness, not the opposite. Refuse to go it alone, because alone is always dangerous. It is bad, too, yeah. Alone is always dangerous, okay? Refuse to go it alone. Make sure you're with people. Community is so very important and so very valuable to keep your hope quotient high. And then last week, our subject was replace burnout with balance. And we looked at the story of Mary and Martha. And where our focus there was that the key is not just better time management. We need more of Jesus. That's right. That's right. Sitting at his feet, be connected to the source of power in your life. That is, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we go. Week number seven, play great defense. All right. This is our last message in this series. And we're in Ephesians chapter number six. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. The Bible says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." Finally, be strong in the Lord and stand off from all these things that are coming at you and coming your direction. I think we would all agree that we're in a battle today. We're in a battle. Hearts, minds, souls, body. I mean, we are in a battle. Every day we're reminded of the dangerous world in which we live. Today we've honored the people who've dedicated themselves to stopping the people who would bring pain and suffering on others. And I have to tell you, I'm a fairly engaged person as far as it comes to, you know, world events and what's happening around the world and keeping up with news and current events and things of that nature. But I have to tell you, as a parent now of a United States Marine, I don't watch the news the same way I once watched the news. I'm not so dismissive with the alerts that come up on my phone about another beheading or more troops being sent here or some, you know, base getting attacked or some, you know, all of a sudden it's like real. I'm watching this video this morning and I've been playing that video over in the office, you know, several times. I'm sitting here and I'm just like, wow, like that's my kid. You know, that's my kid who's putting his life on the line. In our midst are defenders of freedom and liberty. And we've saluted them today, as we need to, as we should. We salute you. But we need to also need to stand in defense against the attacks, the schemes, the wiles, some translations call it, of the devil, of the enemy. Because there, as Ray calls in his book, there are hope killers out there. There are things out there that want to discourage you, demean you, diminish you. And if you're not playing great defense, if you're not defending yourself against those things, you're gonna succumb. You're gonna succumb to those attacks, and you're gonna find your level of hope continuing to dwindle as circumstances around you cave in. You know, in the Bible, there's a place where there's another collection of great heroes. It's in Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews 11, we've got this chapter called the Hall of Faith, where you've got all these different men and women, and not perfect, and we've done series on this chapter. We've preached from this chapter before, so we know it's not about these people were perfect, and they had it all together, and they never made any mistakes. They made plenty of mistakes. But one thing that binds them all together is the fact that they had faith in God. They believed that God was able to do that which they could not do, and that which was beyond the hope of the circumstance that they found themselves in. All these wonderful stories of faith and trust in God. And then we get to chapter number 12, and we see the application. We see the application. Go ahead and scroll through there, Ian. Yeah, there we go. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. So we've got this, you know, we've got this listing of all these great heroes of the faith. And then we get to chapter number 12, and it's like, okay, well, how does that apply to me, and what do I need to do? And how the very first thing he tells you to do, before, it's not, you know, run the race. No, before he says to run the race, before he says to be engaged, before he says to get out there and do what God's called you to do, the first thing he says is, throw off everything that's hindering you. You can't be engaged in the race that God has called for you if you're being held up and held down and held hostage by all this junk and garbage and baggage that we hang on to. And so what we want to talk about today, in just the short time we have, is what do we need to learn to let go of? What do we need to learn to let go of? As we think about playing great defense and not allowing these things access to our lives, what do we need to throw off? Well, the first thing is right here in this verse, and so you can follow the blanks in your bulletin there. We're just going to go through these quickly this morning. The first thing, sins and weights. I mean, there's the most obvious one, and all the rest are going to spring from this. Okay. If you're playing and dabbling around with sin, you know, things that you know are displeasing to God, you know, things that are displeasing and disobedience to His word. Okay, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be challenges for you. Okay, you need to throw those things off. And the Bible says not just sins, but there are weights. There are things that, you know, can be good things, but in the wrong framework, in the wrong context, can cause us some real issues in allowing us to be able to move forward and having a hopeful mindset when it comes to our lives and our circumstances and all the things that God is trying to do. Okay? So we need to learn to let go of. Okay, so let me give you 9 more things, okay, that kind of flow from this, some scriptures, and then we're going to wrap things up this morning. Okay? So learn to let go. Number 1, sins awaits. Number 2, worry and anxiety. Worry and anxiety. Really, Pastor Greg? Really? No, you've got to let go of that. Because if you don't, you are going to be held captive. What does the Bible say? Philippians 4:4-7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. But my kid is in the military. Can I be anxious about that? No, you can't. But Pastor Greg, my bank account is not where it needs to be. Can I be anxious about that? No, you can't. The Bible says don't be anxious about anything. Anything. You need to let go of worry and let go of anxiety. You need to submit those, whatever it is. So what are you worrying about? What are you anxious about? You need to lay those at the feet of Jesus. And we talked about last week, we looked at Martha in Luke chapter number 10. You know, busy, 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 active, 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 serving, serving, serving. She was worried and troubled about much. And if we're going to move forward, this race that's been marked out for us, we got to let go of worry and anxiety. Okay, number 3. So sin and weights, worry and anxiety. Number 3, we learn to let go of bitterness. Bitterness. Oh, man, it's getting worse. I just hang on. Just hang on. It gets worse. Oh, why? You know, it's so funny, we talk in these, you know, learn to let go of these things. Why do we have to learn to let go of these things? Because we like to hang on to these things, don't we? We like to hang on to worry and anxiety. We like to hang on to bitterness. What does the Bible say in Hebrews 12:15? See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Resentment and bitterness, it poisons you, it poisons other people, it poisons your future.
We need to learn to let go of bitterness. Think about Joseph back in Genesis 45, 46, 47, 48, 49, 50. The end of his life. He's finally reunited with his brothers. And what does he say? You rascals, you are finally going to get what's coming to you. Right? No. He's like, you meant it for evil. God meant it for good. Let me take care of you. I love you. You're my family. Wow. Okay, does that come naturally? No, you got to learn to let go of that bitterness. So this is what we do. This is what we do. Okay? We have, if we're in Joseph's position, we like have these conversations with ourselves like, man, if I were to see my brothers again, this is exactly what I'm going to say. And then when they say this, I'm going to come back with this. And then when they, does anybody else do that? You know, like we have these like conversations because we get so, what does the Bible call it? A root of bitterness. It takes hold in our heart and it poisons everything about us. We're never going to, our hope quotient is always going to be low. We're never going to be able to move forward in that race that God's marked out for us if we're holding on to bitterness. Now, look, I don't want to discount your pain. I don't want to discount your hurt. We're going to talk about some of that stuff this morning, okay? We all live with pain. We all live with hurt. We all live with disappointment. Don't allow a root of bitterness to spring up in your life. It will strangle you, and it will strangle your spiritual growth. Number four, learn to let go of doubt. Learn to let go of doubt. I love this verse in James 1 because of the picture it gives. Anyone who doubts is like a wave in the sea blown up and down by the wind. They should not think they shall receive anything from the Lord. Okay? You know, that just that rocking back and forth. You know, just, oh, I'm just not sure. I don't know which direction to go. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be. This is constant doubt. God says, keep your eyes on me. I am the fixed point in your life. Let him be the fixed point in your existence. Learn to let go of doubt. I love Moses, back in Exodus. And we talked a few weeks ago about Moses's mother. But, you know, fast forward the story a little bit to Moses. And God comes to Moses like, okay, you're going to be the guy. You're going to be the one who is going to lead my people out of bondage. You're going to go back to the land of Egypt. You fled. You were there for 40 years. You've been in the wilderness for 40 years. Now you're going back to lead my people out of bondage of Egypt. Like, me? You know, really? I'm the person? Like, I can't talk in front of people? I can't, I'm watching I don't want to be like overly critical, but I'm watching the Exodus Gods and Kings commercials. I'm a big movie guy. You guys know that, And I'm like seeing Christian Bale. I'm just not getting Christian Bale. I'm just not getting, Rise, freedom! It's like, I don't know if Moses was that way, The Bible describes Moses as this, he struggled. He had doubts. Like, I don't think this is what God, and maybe they'll depict that. So like I said, I don't want to prejudge it. But, he was like unsure that this was what he was supposed to do. And you think about everybody, Abraham and Sarah, they had a doubt problem. Moses had a doubt problem. Joseph, Jonah had a doubt problem. Really, God? Joshua had a doubt problem. And he was younger, he's following after Moses. Like, what's that about? Timothy has a doubt problem, young preacher. Thomas has a doubt problem. Peter has a doubt problem. The Bible is full of all these people that had doubt problems, but they all were able to overcome them when they fixed their eyes upon the God who is bigger than whatever it was they were supposed to be doing. Learn to let go of doubt. Don't let the fear of doubt keep you. Well, I'm just not sure. Launch out in faith. Launch out in faith. Okay, number five. Keep moving. Learn to let go of selfishness. Selfishness. Acts 20:35. There is more joy in giving than receiving. Okay, in Acts chapter 4 and 5, we've got this really interesting story. It's fascinating to me because you've got the birth of the church, Acts chapter 2 and 3, and there's all this really cool stuff happening. And then obviously you've got the whole rest of the book of Acts where you've got this great, expanse of the gospel, and the gospel is just being enlarged, and people are getting saved, and the church is growing, and people are being impacted, and there's all this, there's persecution, there's just all this stuff going on. And there's this little story right there in the middle of these two, great parts of two people called Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. Familiar with that story? So Ananias and Sapphira, a couple of people in the church, like, we're gonna sell some land. We're gonna give the proceeds to the church. Because the Bible's talking about it. People are selling stuff and they're giving their all to the church. Everybody had common. Everybody, as everybody had need, they're like taking care of each other. But they told the church one thing, but in their hearts they had something else. They were holding something back. They conspired together to put on airs of one, you know, one image, but they were like, we're gonna tell them it was $100. It was really $200, but we're gonna just tell them it was $100, and so it looks like we're giving it all, but we're keeping $100 for ourselves. I mean, that's kind of what was going on there. And the Bible says God struck them down dead. Struck them down dead. Wow. Like, can we go back to Acts 2 and 3? That's really cool, you know. I mean, serious stuff, you know, selfishness. This idea that my stuff is my stuff, when the Bible clearly teaches that all of our stuff is a blessing from God. And if I have something that can bless you, if I take ownership of it, I'm selfish, I'm in sin. I need to not be that way. I need to be always looking out for the needs of other people. If there's more joy in giving than in receiving. You know, as parents, we know this when it comes to our children. You know, we're doing our Christmas shopping, we're doing birthday, you know, we're doing those things. I can't wait. We try to be sneaky. It doesn't work so much anymore. But, you know, our intent is to be sneaky, you know, and like, you know, we develop this like, okay, we're going to do this and we're going to hide it here and it's going to, you know, we're going to, you know, wrap it in a bunch of sweaters and we're going to do all these kind of crazy things, you know. Why? Because we have this anticipation of what it's going to be like when they open that up and their eyes get really big and then 10 minutes later they're doing something else and they don't even know like what that gift was. But you know what I'm saying? You know, we're so excited to give to our kids, okay? We need to have that, you know, we need to have that same attitude about all of our stuff. It's not our stuff. It's his. We're stewards of what he's given to us. Learn to let go of selfishness. Number six, here's a big one. Learn to let go of guilt. Learn to let go of guilt. Psalm 32, a psalm of David. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David, a man after God's own heart, completely blew it by sleeping with somebody that wasn't his wife, conceiving a child with that woman, and then killing that woman's husband by sending him off to the hottest part of the battle where he knew he would be killed. Man after God's own heart does this, and he is completely eaten away with guilt. And man, I'm here to tell you, the devil loves this one. The devil loves this one. The devil loves to take all of your stuff, all the bad stuff that you've done, and just beat you on the head with it. Keep bringing it back to your mind. You did this. You did that. I want you to take the admonition from this verse of David. You just give that to God. Say, God, this is yours. Forgive me. I acknowledge my sin, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Not just the sin, but the guilt of my sin. Man, don't let the devil keep tripping you up over those past things that have happened in your life. We need to learn to let go of guilt. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in just a minute. Number seven, learn to let go of unhealthy relationships. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be misled. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Okay, let me talk to the young people here, all right? This applies to all of us, but let me talk to you teenagers, okay? You young people that are in the service today, okay? I want you to take a look at this verse. Bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. You've got choices to make in the relationships that you have. Now, you'll never hear from this pulpit, you'll never hear from this church, anything close to an isolationist kind of tendency, where we like have to like, you know, man, you know, you have friends that don't go to church, shame on you. You better have friends that don't go to church. You need to be salt and light. We need to be in the world, but not of the world. Jesus makes that very, very clear. But you've got to guard. You've got to guard your heart. You've got to guard those relationships. And if you recognize that this is an unhealthy relationship for me, you've got to learn to let go of that. You've got to let go of that because that is going to bring you down and it is going to keep you from following after what God has for you. Now, that goes for all of us. Okay, we pick on teenagers because we're always talking about peer pressure. Yeah, because adults don't deal with peer pressure. Not, you know, we all deal with peer pressure. Okay, and absolutely, we need to be engaged with this world. We need to have friends. We need to have relationships with all different kinds of people. We totally need that. But you know in your heart, you know in your life, you talk about it with your spouse. You know, in that relationship is starting to have a negative impact on you. This is not healthy. I've got to create a fence. I've got to create some boundaries. I've got to create a border around this relationship. Otherwise, it's going to take me down a path that I may not be able to recover from. So watch that. Be careful of that. Learn to let go of unhealthy relationships. Okay? Number eight. This kind of deals with a little bit with number six, but a little different example. Learn to let go of past failures. We talked earlier, Philippians 3:13. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. The example here is the one of Peter in John chapter 21, one of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. You know, Jesus' conversation with Peter after his resurrection, restoring him to ministry. Because Peter did what? Peter said, I will go to the death with you. Like, nobody is coming between me and you, Jesus. We are in this together. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, before the morning, you're going to deny me three times. Oh, Jesus, no way. Me? I'm never going to do that. I'm never going to deny you. And what happened? Before the morning came, Peter denied him three times, and he went out and he wept bitterly. He completely blew it. Completely blew it. And when Jesus comes to him in John chapter number 21, he in essence says, Peter, I still have a plan for you. I still have a job for you. There's still something I want to do with your life. And Peter becomes this great leader in the church in the book of Acts and martyrs himself for his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm talking to people today, and you're letting things that happened in your past keep you from moving forward spiritually. You got to learn to let go of that stuff. I'm not saying it's not impactful. I'm not saying it doesn't have consequences. I'm not saying it's not always going to be there somewhere in some compartment in your brain. But don't let it keep you from moving forward in the race that God has marked out for you. Learn to let go of past failures. Because the reality is, every one of us has failed. Every single person here. As a person, as a dad, as a mom, as a husband, as a wife, as a kid, as a parent, we have dropped the ball somewhere. And if we allow those past failures to define our future prospects, we're never going to get anywhere. Learn to let go of past failures. Number nine, I love this one. Learn to let go of discouragement. Discouragement. Nehemiah, we don't have time to go through all of Nehemiah's story. Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Nehemiah is the guy that God, you know, God lays it upon his heart. He's going to go back to Jerusalem. He's going to rebuild the wall. He's going to rebuild the wall. God's city is in ruins. God's city is destitute. You know, God's people are being pillaged because there's no safety. There's no protection. There's no provision for them. He says in this verse, 2:20, so I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build, but you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem. So, you know, what's happening back in Jerusalem? Oh, it's bad. It's bad. The walls are torn down. He did not let that stop him. Discouragement. We get so discouraged. I just have to tell you, in thinking about this verse and actually thinking about this context and thinking about, you know, the real, literal thing that's going on here with a building. You know, it's a building project, okay? I've been so discouraged by, you know, how long it's taken this whole building thing to happen. It's completely out of our control. There's nothing we can do. So why do I keep getting discouraged about it? You know, well, because you know, I've got a timetable. I've got an agenda. That was that whole replace burnout with balance thing that I was talking about, okay? And that was one of the things that was leading me down this path of burnout because I was focusing so much on the discouragement of, man, I wish that was happening. I wish that, you know, I call them every Friday. I call the developer every Friday. It's like, yeah, it's Friday. It's me. Every Friday, what's going on? What, you know, what's the update? You know, I'm going to get a few questions on Sunday. You're like, what's happening? And so I called him Friday, and things are happening. They're just not happening fast. They're just not happening in our time frame. You know whose time frame they're happening in? gods. They absolutely are. They absolutely are. And that's just one example. You know, there's so many things in life that we wish were would happen faster. You know, I wish I would see these attributes. I wish I would see these traits in my children now. Be patient. It's easy to get discouraged. Be patient. It's maybe not happening in your time frame. Whatever's happening at your job, in your career path, your career field. It's like, man, I'm like stuck. Like, am I ever going to get out here? Don't learn to let go of discouragement. Don't let that discouragement bring you down and deflate the hope in your life, because it's going to keep you from ever moving forward and running the race that's marked out for you. And then the last one in closing, number 10, learn to let go of pride and arrogance. Learn to let go of pride and arrogance. Look at these verses, 1 Peter 5, 5 and 6. All of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Man, we can be so proud, can't we? I mean, there's a couple things there. First thing, you know, right off the bat, it's all of you. Okay, he like doesn't discriminate, you know, all of you, every one of you, everyone, all of us, okay? And then there's this, you know, because God opposes the proud. Yikes. God opposes the proud. So the proud want to do this, and God's going to get in the way of that. And God's going to say, no, I'm not going to let you through. Because you are prideful and you are arrogant. Is that how we want to orient our lives? Man, not me. What's it say? He gives grace to the humble. He opposes the proud, gives grace to the humble. Say, well, Pastor Greg, then how come all the proud people are getting away with it? Because in my life, all the people that are proud and arrogant, you know, and just acting like, ugh, like I can't even say it in church, they seem to be getting away with it. They seem to be just living high in life and high. Their day's coming. Their day's coming. Because he opposes the proud. Do we believe his word? Absolutely. His word is true. And again, it may not happen in our time frame, but it's going to happen. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I want to be in a place where I'm receiving grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Lord, just rain them down. Let grace fall down on me. In 2 Kings chapter 5, you've got the story of Naaman and Elisha and the healed of the sores of leprosy. Like, I'm going to go to God's prophet. He's going to like pronounce, like, you know, there's going to be a lightning bolt come down or something. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to be healed. And what does the prophet say? Go wash yourself in the Jordan 7 times. Wash myself in the Jordan. The Jordan is dirt. I'm important. I'm an important person. I've got important responsibilities. You want me to go wash myself in this dirty, filthy river? I am better than that. What does he eventually do? He eventually submits. He eventually humbles himself. And what does the Bible say? It worked. He was healed. We need to learn to let go of pride and arrogance. I want to close with Hebrews 12 again. As I was thinking about, you know, how do I close this? Like, how do I? You know, this has been a great, you know, it's been a great series. I've loved it. I hope it's been an encouragement to you. I was telling some folks down here that I've been spending this week kind of getting my brain wrapped around Christmas. You know, trying to work on Christmas stuff and planning for Christmas. And we've been so embroiled in this now for so long. That literally I'm always thinking about hope and my hope quotient and unleashing hope and all these principles that we've learned, and thinking about situations in my life and how I need to apply that principle here and that principle there and all these things. So I really struggle a little bit with, like, okay, how do I wrap all this up? Like, you know, what's, you know, how do we want to say this, you know, at the very end? And I just would like to leave you with a verse. I just want to be very, very simple, because I think it all comes together in this way. We read Hebrews 12:1, talks about throwing off everything, the sin, and running with perseverance the race set before us. But verse number two, looking to Jesus, the founder, the author, and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Go and throw that, yeah. Fix your eyes on him. I guess this is like the image. This is the visual. This is the picture that I'd like to leave us with. Because when we think about hope, and we think about circumstance, and we think about enduring, and we think about stuff going on at home and work and finances and family and career and people, how do we keep all of that where it needs to be? Like, how do we keep all the places where they need to be? It's right here. Fix your eyes on him. You want to increase the hope in your life? Stop dwelling so much on the circumstances that are dragging you down. All these, this list of stuff, sins, weights, pride, arrogance, worry, discouragement, guilt, stress, all these things. And fix your eyes on him. Fix your eyes on him, the author and finisher of our faith. He started it, he will finish it. Keep your eyes on him. Every Wednesday morning we gather for prayer, and we'd encourage you to come. There aren't many that come into our prayer gathering on Wednesday morning. But, you know, it's an awkward time, I get. But 7 o'clock on Wednesday morning, and I try to always remember to pray, because we pray for you. We pray for all the requests that come in. And then we pray for you. We pray for this congregation. We pray for, you know, I'm plugged into so many things, you know, mainly through Facebook, you know, with people in our community, with things that are going on, with sicknesses and cancers and hospitalizations and, you know, marriage and parental and, you know, just things of that nature. We just take the time to pray for our congregation, for our community. And I try to always find time somewhere in that round table of prayer that we have together on Wednesday morning and say, Lord, may our people, Adventure Church, may our family, may our church family, may Jesus be a real part of their day today. That's what I pray for you. I pray that Jesus would be a real part of your day. Not just coming on Sunday. This is great. We love coming to church. We love the music and we love the fellowship, and church is awesome. We love church. And Jesus, we want Jesus to be here, as I mentioned earlier in the service. But what about Wednesday? You know, where's Jesus, you know, at? As we fix our eyes on him, all these other things, recharging your batteries, raise your expectations, refocus on your future, play to your strengths, refuse to go it alone, replace burnout with balance, play great defense, all of those are going to fall into place if your eyes are fixed on him. That's my prayer for you. That's my prayer for us. May we go in that hope this morning. Father God, thank you so much for the time together. Lord, there's people here this morning that need to learn to let go of some stuff. There's some stuff that's holding them back. There's some stuff that there's some hope killers that are attacking them. They're trying to bring them down. We need to play great defense and keep those things from taking hold in our hearts, taking hold of our lives, taking hold in our minds, and keeping us from moving forward in that race that's been marked out for us. So, Father, I pray for anyone here today whom your Spirit has spoken to about one of these areas that we've talked about, one of this list of 10, Lord, that they'd let go of it. They would just lay it at your feet. They'd walk out of here saying, by the grace of God, I'm not going to let discouragement get the better of me anymore. By the grace of God, I'm not going to let the past failures get to me anymore and keep me from being in part of that race that God's marked out for me. Or maybe it's a sin that needs to be confessed today. Lord, you know everybody's hearts. You know where we're at. I pray that you would just work in our hearts, work in our lives, and may our eyes ever be fixed on you. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. May we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, us, endured the cross, despising the shame, but is now raised victorious. Father, give us that same victory. Give us that same hope. Thank you for these weeks that we've had together. May you continue to transform us. May we continue to grow in the image of your Son, Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you so much for being here today. Great time with you in worship and fellowship today. If you can help us with teardown.